Okay. Well, we'll continue where we've been looking for like maybe 4 weeks now, and I may finish up or may end up on more week. And in the light of what was our 35th anniversary, we were asking ourselves, why are we still here? Why are we still going on? And the past few weeks make it kind of imperative to me, the necessity to go on now more than ever. Sometimes I don't feel like it. You know, it'd be a nice time just to quit. But it'd be a terrible time to quit, too. Now the conflict started. You know, now we're engaged in battle. If I'd have had it to do my way, maybe I would have done it when I was a younger man. Maybe the strife and the real conflict would have come when I was in my youth and vigor. But the Lord knows better. He knows what's best. And sometimes there's a place for old warriors, I guess. So by the grace of God, we continue on. And again, I don't expect everybody to believe just like I do. I didn't always believe what I believe. And the Lord had to teach me things. And I'm sure he's going to teach me more things as I go on. But there's things that he has taught me. And there's some positions he has brought me to that I can't be comfortable in other circumstances. Not every little detail. And, you know, the brethren have different views of some things. And I'll try to be accepting of them. And I hope they are of me. But there's some things that I can't tolerate questioning of, and I'm not saying those folks that do those aren't Christians even. But we talked about sovereign grace and the pagan holidays and the Bible and church truths and the very sort of songs that we sing and on and on. And sometimes I think I've painted myself into a corner, but I think the Lord painted me into that corner. So he's like, you don't have any place else to go. It's good I don't, because I might would go. And so I'm thankful for that. And so we looked at several points in the past several weeks. Now, why we're continuing on, why we're still here, the first point we looked at is because God called us to this ministry, just as he'd called Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, you go speak to the children of Israel. He said, Ezekiel, they're a rebellious nation. And picking up reading in Ezekiel 2, he says, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee to them. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know there has been a prophet amongst them. So we've been called to this ministry. We've been called to proclaim God's truth, to proclaim the gospel. And again, as I said, it's not an offer, it's not a deal. But those sensible sinners will receive it with joy. Those who have been quickened by the Holy Spirit and the rest of the world, so that's a stumbling block. You know, that's a bridge too far. That's foolishness. And that's not our business. Our business is to be there to proclaim, whether they hear or whether they forbear, as the Lord told Ezekiel. Second reason we continue on is because God's called us to the ministry. And we realize that ultimately we really couldn't quit, even if we wanted to, until the Lord's ready for us to. And we considered the case of Jeremiah, who he went through a lot more than I ever have. And he got to the point, he said, I quit! I'm not doing this anymore! Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. And then we looked at someone else I could well identify with, at least in his failings, Peter. Peter disappointed himself. He denied his Lord. And we looked at, was it last week or the week before, and he said, you know, I go fishing. I'll just go back to what I did before, you know. I've disappointed myself. I've disappointed the Lord. And then the Lord kept telling Peter, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do what I told you to. And that's what we're to be about, by His grace. And I pray we may continue on in that. And so, Jeremiah wanted to quit. Peter wanted to quit. Jonah wanted to quit. You can look at other folks in the scriptures. But ultimately, they didn't, because the Lord didn't let them. You know, you can look at so many, even in some ways, you know, Esther. She was like, well, I'm not going to do this. This is dangerous. Mordecai said, yeah, it's dangerous, but that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's why you're here. And so, in some ways, it seems we may live in such dangerous times. Third, we looked at, I think, last week. We continue on because as a Christian husband and father and grandfather, I have to give an account for my own household. I mean, how am I going to account for my own household? Where am I going to bring them to worship? Paul told young Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:8 that if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So, like, where would we go to church? I don't know. And so for lack of having an answer to that, I guess I continue on. As Joshua spoke for himself and his family, we looked at Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a responsibility to our family, to what we talked about last week, and it's something that's kind of forgotten today, to our posterity. There's folks going to follow us, our descendants. And I'm thankful for faithful folks that went before us. That's why we remember folks like on Confederate Memorial Day and on events like this, and why we remember the faithful brethren that went before us. And I'm thankful that I had, and not that it comes through human blood, but I'm thankful for the ancestors I had and the things that they believed and the things they stood for and the things they passed on. And we're accountable to do that. And we spoke of Noah, who preached for over 100 years. He only brought his family on that ark. But the Lord knew that from the beginning. And that's what we're to do. That's what we're called to do. And that brings me to my fourth point. And I look about me, what's going on today in particular. But if we were to close the doors without a clear direction from God, it would be a sin against His faithfulness in the past. God has been faithful in the past, each step of the way. And it's more evident even in our own imperfect understanding as we look back. And we can see what the Lord did. The Lord's met as a church, I think probably as individuals. We can look back and see that the Lord's met our need. Every step of the way, He's brought us up to the present. He's blessed us more than can be enumerated. And as long as he provides in such a way, how can we just up and quit? How can we just stop? 2 Kings 17, verse 7, we read, "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." It's like you scratch your head and say, and yet we know the frailness and the sinfulness of mankind and of ourselves, but you scratch your head and say, how could the children of Israel sin against God when they experienced the Exodus, when they experienced the parting of the sea, when they experienced all the plagues? They saw that, they experienced all that. They go out and erect a golden calf. What? We need to be careful we don't do such things in the light of God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." We might even make 40 years. We got 35 now, right? But it's been 40 years. You know, you think, and the Lord's been faithful. He's met every need. You've never lacked nothing. And what would cause you to doubt or to question now? After all that, after all you've seen, after all you've experienced. I mean, what a great sin against God such a thing would be. He continues with his people. Throughout thick and thin, throughout all things, the Lord told his church in Matthew 28, verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Paul wasn't just saying that to the apostles and the disciples. You know, they passed away. He was speaking to that institution that he gave himself for, to his church. And he said, "I'm with you always." If he's with us, how could we quit? I mean, what a terrible sin that would be against him. A great questioning of his goodness and his righteousness. Hasn't he always been with us? And we look at today and the goings on. We talk about churches out in California. Well, there were churches in Florida early on that they were arresting pastors. Like it was down in Tampa, if I remember right. Out there in California now, they're going before the courts. And the courts saying, yeah, the governor can restrict churches. He can tell them they can't meet. He can forbid you worshiping. He can forbid you singing. You know, he's always been with us. How could we quit now? How could we not continue on doing what he's told us to do? You know, the masking, the rising of the Antichrist, I believe. You know, now is not the time to quit. The man of sin is going to be revealed, I believe, and folks are going to be forced. We read in the scriptures they couldn't buy or sell without receiving the mark. Well, already they're trying to tell you can't buy or sell unless you put on a face mask. And then it's going to be you can't buy and sell unless you get their vaccination. And that vaccination may even have an implant in it. And if not, the day will come. So you're going to have to get the implant so we can until you've got the vaccination. And eventually that'll contain all your financial data. And if you don't have it, you can't buy or sell. Interesting how the scriptures could foresee those things. But the Lord foresaw those things, and he'll be with his people. He'll not forsake them. Indeed, in Philippians, Paul says, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God meets the needs of his people. He always has in the past. He will in the future. And in the light of that, how could we just up and quit? Oh, there may circumstances come where you couldn't do anything else, I suppose, but the Lord knows that. But until he does, I'd be kind of frightened just to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, we're not going to meet anymore. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's with us. How could we cease standing with him? I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. And that's a great comfort to the children of God, and particularly in this day and age in which we live. A fifth point, why we continue on. You know, we're small in number. We've only got three members now. Sometimes if we've got visitors, we may have 20 plus here. But there's a few, we happy few, to borrow from Shakespeare, we band of brothers and sisters. The scripture speaks of it as the Lord's remnant. There's still a remnant. There's still a faithful few who have determined by the grace of God and by the power of God not to bend the knee to Baal. They've determined not to compromise with the world. They've determined not to adopt the modern reinterpretations of biblical standards and biblical doctrines. And I believe the Lord's been pleased to bring some of them into that little fellowship here. It's been the Lord's doing. I mean, how did we all get here? Even more broadly speaking, a wife on her birthday, how'd she end up getting stuck with me? The Lord did that. He brought us together, and he brought Brother Howe here. This little remnant that's his. In Acts 2, we read about the Lord's church. In Acts 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's the Lord that adds to his church. And the Lord knows those that are his. The Lord knows those that were elect in eternity past. And the Lord brings them in time to life. Grants them the gifts of repentance and faith, and brings them to hear and embrace the gospel of their salvation. And the Lord added to the church. I've too often seen folks added that human devices added to the church. Sometimes folks are even added to the faithful church that maybe the Lord didn't add, except in his divine sovereign plan, but, you know, they're not really of his. They went out from us because they were not of us. I don't want those that human devices can bring in. They're too much trouble. curse it the Lord adds. Even the redeemed are trouble enough. I'm about all the trouble I can handle, I'll tell you. I don't need those that are still in the flesh. Those that manipulation and psychology and 100 verses of just as I am added to the church. The Lord adds to the church. God, I think, says to us essentially the same thing that he said to Elijah in Kings 19 and verse 18. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. You know, sometimes we look around and we're the only ones. It's just us and nobody else. The Lord's got a remnant. I don't know who they all are. I don't know where they all are. You remember Elijah got that way. He was about to the point of quitting too. He said, Lord, I'm the only one left. Nobody else. God said to Elijah, he said, wait a minute, Elijah. I've got 7,000 in Israel that haven't bent the knee to Baal. You may not know every one of them, but there's a remnant, as Paul speaks in Romans 11 and verse 5, a verse that I find great comfort in. Paul says, even so, then, in this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Even though in this present time, in Paul's present time and our present time, the trials and tribulations is, you know, it gets kind of depressing when you look around and you just see all the blind sheeple. You know, they don't question, they don't think. They just do what they're told. They think what they're told to think. And sometimes you just almost despair. But as Paul said, as God inspired him to say, even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And so by the grace of God, we go on, if for nothing else, for the sake of that remnant. As Paul said again to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. He said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Also as I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain the fullness, that is, of their salvation, that they might be quickened, which Paul can't do, but they might hear and receive the gospel, that they might exercise that God-given faith. That's the conversion of their salvation. Paul says, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Because God is going to bring all of those elect to hear and to receive the gospel of their salvation, to embrace it, that they might receive that peace that it alone can bring. And so we continue on for the sake of the remnant. Number six. I've got 7 points. I don't know if I'll finish today. Are we going to do something? We'll have to see. One driving force to me, and one that kind of always hits home, and I guess, for good or bad, and a lot of it's bad, but for good or bad, they say, you know, once a Marine, always a Marine. And there's a lot of truth to that. And I don't encourage anybody to serve in the Empire's military. But there's things that happen to you that are, and you know, that stay with you. And that's a lesson to learn about everything in our life. And one of the driving forces to me is that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, our sins have already been judged. But we're going to give an account of the deeds that were done in the flesh. We're going to give an account to our Lord and Savior. And that's a coming reality, and I think it's probably coming soon. And we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, even like I did as a Marine Corps officer, would have my heels locked and give an account of the deeds that I'd done in the flesh to the colonel behind the desk there. But it's more sobering to think we'll stand before the Lord and give such an account. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Peter's speaking to believers here. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. I remember having to stand and give an account, and we all have in our life, in greater and lesser degrees, certainly, anytime we've ever worked for someone. Like I can remember having my heels locked and giving an account. And I would hate to think that, particularly in the light of what's going on today, that I would have abandoned my post in the face of the enemy. That I would have abandoned my post when things just got to their worst point. That I would have abandoned my post when things were in the balance. When the battle was at its height. And I could be wrong, but it seems to me that we're approaching that time. I wouldn't want to stand before the Lord and say I abandoned my post in the face of the enemy. And certainly it's possible that the Lord would eventually lead us to other things or make some things transpire that we couldn't continue on. But by His grace, I think we all have to hold fast where He's placed us until we receive orders to the contrary. You say, you know, obey your last orders. And things are getting, well, as they say, dicey. Lord told the church at Thyatira in Revelation 2. And I'll just read a couple verses there. And then Revelation 2 and verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, false doctrines that have infiltrated, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. That which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Well, you can do all kind of things. And you can try all other sorts of alternatives. Again, sometimes we were joking about it, but you think about, you know, about retirement. And I look at, and I get to go shooting, you know, a couple times a week and some recreation in there. But I look at some of these other guys, you know, they've been retired 20 years and all they've done is been playing. What was your life about? Enjoy yourself and do nothing useful. Is that really? And is, I can't find anybody in the Bible that did that. I can't find any of our forebears that really did that. It's just in the more recent years that folks think, well, you get to kick back and not do anything for, you know, the last quarter or half or however much of it ends up being of your life. And I'm not condemning folks, I you know, but I'm just, and sometimes it's appealing. But we ask, like, the broader point of this sermon, why are we here? Why are we here? Are we here to entertain ourselves and to be amused? I don't think that's it. I can't find that in the scriptures. Are we here to have a good time? I don't find that either. You say, well, yeah, but it's fun and it was kind of good. Yeah, but like I've said before, you do all that stuff, but eventually it comes to this. Then you die. And then what? Then you die. And then what? John writes in 1 John 3 and verse 2, he says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. And if we're his, it's manifest. You hear a lot of folks talking about the Lord coming back, but they don't act like it. Look at their lives. They don't act like they think he's coming back. They don't act like they think they'll stand before the judgment seat. But we will. We'll all give an account of the deeds done in the flesh. And I pray that, you know, we might be faithful. I'll have a little bit more to say on this point next week and some other things, and we'll wrap it all up. I sometimes feel, I'm sure you do too, I sometimes feel, you know, I've reached the end of the rope. And you know what you need to do then? You reach the end of the rope, you tie a knot in it, and you hold on. Lord said, that which you have now, hold fast till I come. That which you have already, hold fast till I come. Sometimes we may, in his providence, reach the end of the rope. But don't let go. Tie a knot and hold on. And I pray for the grace to do that. It's easy to say these things. It's going to be harder to do them. But his grace is sufficient. And he alone can give us strength and power in those things. Okay, we'll take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. This may be one of the another new one I put in, but I don't think it's too fast. Number 144, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And we'll stand as we sing this closing hymn. Number 144.
Cast my golden crown and the glorious crown for resurrection day. Ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away.
Song makes an important point too, doesn't it? You know, that we're gonna get a crown, but we're gonna throw cast them at the Lord's feet.
That's
the only reason we should have want one, and we certainly don't deserve one.
That's right.
That will be all by His grace as well, but it's not the old flesh. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for one another. We thank You for Your truth and Your word. We thank You for Your sustaining grace. Lord, we pray for the grace to stand, to be right and true, to be faithful in these days in which we live. And Lord, we know we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own power. It all comes from Thee. Father, thank You for Your eternal love. Thank You for that everlasting covenant, for the people that You gave Your Son, and for His all-sufficient and completed atonement for them. Thank You, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that gave us life and brought us to hear and receive that gospel of our salvation. Go with us as we go our way this week. Use us to Your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.